good morning, Running for Christ family. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners. Hi, my name is Deacon Floretta Welch, and I'm here to bring you the Saturday morning Bible class. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us through another week. Come into our hearts and into our lives and into our homes so we can collectively come and get the clarity of these scriptures you have signed for this lesson. We know you are feeding us all. Let us break bread together and share with the rest of the world the nourishment we have received. Father, we thank you for being able to sit at your feet. So let us get full. Let us meditate and plant seeds going forward. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. We pray. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
For today's assignment, good morning, Deaconess Rebecca.
Good morning.
Good morning
to all of my participants. I'm not ignoring you. You know I need you. You make the class.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So today, our assignment, Mother Ernie. Today, our assignment is we're going to just go review the questions that we have been over so that when Minister Tate returns that she can pick up right where she left off. Amen. So number one on our review questions is, who is God and what did he create? So we need to go to Genesis 1:1 for that one. So can somebody read Genesis 1:1?
Hold on. Okay. Go ahead, someone. Okay.
You go ahead.
Go ahead. No, ma'am.
No, I much prefer you go.
Well, you said Genesis 1:1?
Yeah.
Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters.
Amen. So, question number one, who is God?
Go ahead.
Who is God and what did he create? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen.
Wait a minute.
So,
okay.
That's our answer to number one.
Amen.
Okay, and then I need somebody to read Genesis 1:26 through 28 so we can answer the question, what were humans created to do?
To flourish.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth. But we're going to use scripture to back up what we say. So we need somebody to read Genesis 1:26 through 28.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth."
Amen.
Oh, amen. So we see here that humans were created to fill the earth, to be fruitful and multiply, and as well as our favorite word, flourish.
Okay, hold on for 1 minute, please.
Okay.
You guys are doing Are we doing the questions that were on the computer, or you guys have some questions from last week or something?
No, it should be another set of questions, one through, they were 1 through 20.
Pastor sent them in an email on August 30.
Okay.
It say review questions at the top.
Okay, see, I'm having a problem with my computer is cycling to try and find those questions. I mean, you know, it's not going straight through like it usually does. It's cycling. But
okay.
Go ahead. I'll listen till I catch up. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So, like I said, number 2 was what were humans created to do? They were created to multiply and to subdue the earth and, in other words, to flourish. You know, that's a big word in our Bible study because that's what God created us to do. It was to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So moving on to question number 3. It said, who were the sons of Noah and what came from them? We can find this answer in Genesis 10. Verse 1. Can somebody read that, please?
Okay. Well, here's Genesis. 10, verse 1. It says, this is the account of the family. Oh, go ahead.
You had it. Go ahead.
This is the account of the family Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The 3 sons of Noah, many children were born to them after the great flood. Amen?
Oh, okay, amen. And this lets us know that who they were, which is Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and that from them were born nations, many
nations.
Children.
Yes.
So, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's move on now to question number 4. It says, what happened to the nations of Noah's descendants? That's found in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9.
At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plan in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. The Lord came down to look at the city and the tower people were building. Look, he said, the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be important for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world, and they stopped building the city. That is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so here we find them building this tower, you know, for themselves, which they would stay put in that area. God intended for us to flourish. So he scattered them. and gave them different languages so they can come from all corners of the earth. Amen. So what happened to Noah's descendants? They were scattered by God in order so they could flourish. You can't flourish if you're all standing in one spot doing the same thing.
Well,
amen.
You got a point. Amen. You got a point there.
You know what, Loretta?
What?
I got, therefore it is called Babylon. I never saw that before in my Christian standard.
Uh-huh.
Babylon.
So Babel came from Babylon.
I never thought about that.
I didn't either. Thanks for that point, because you know, even when I do a study, I use several Bibles so I can see how each one is worded, you know, so I can make the lesson juicier. But you know, these were questions, you know, I didn't research them like that. But thank you for that. Very much.
Hey, you're welcome.
Okay. So, moving on. Moving on to question five. It says, we're on five. Okay. What great nation comes into the prominence from Genesis 13 through Exodus 14? So we're not going to read all that, but we can go to Genesis 13 and just see the beginning of it, and we'll figure out what nation came from there. Okay, and I do believe it was the nation of Babylon. That came from that nation. Let me make sure I got it right, y'all. I'm looking at my notes too. Like I said, I'm learning right along with you all. And I'm looking at the nations that were prominent in the world, and I'm looking at the statue, and the first nation was the nation of Babylon. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So, because like I said, we don't have time to read Genesis 13 through Exodus 14. So,
okay.
What great nation comes into prominence from Genesis? I think Babylon is the answer. If anybody out there and my answer is not right, I don't hear anybody.
I was looking at it, and I think that one is Egypt.
You think it's what?
Egypt.
You think it's Egypt?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the question again?
The question is, what great nation comes into prominence from Genesis? And she's right, because you know what? Exodus starts their journey from being captive in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Because like I said, you know, I didn't go over them since they were just review questions. You know what I'm saying? So I really didn't go over them myself. I figured that it would be more interesting if we went through them together. We all have been in these classes. But we thank you, sister. Deaconess.
No problem. We in this together. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Amen. And I thank God for you.
Hey.
Because, you know, usually I be on pastor, you know. But it's nice to know that somebody that's learning just like I am, you know.
Yeah,
we don't have to go to the pastor for – yeah, we don't have to go to the pastor for all the answers. We do show that somebody learned something.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
All right.
Okay, now that was getting into the nations. coming from Noah's descendants to, you know, to the first nation that got inspired. Now these nations are becoming empires. And we know that the empires are the ones that God was dissatisfied with. So let us read on and find out how did Egypt become an empire. So thank you again, Nicole, for that answer. It says, and that's in Genesis 47, 13 through 21. Can I get somebody to read that, please? Genesis 47, 13 through 21.
Okay. Meanwhile, the famine began so severe that all the food was used up, and people were starving throughout the lands of Egypt and Canaan. By selling grain to the people, Joseph eventually collected all the money in Egypt and Canaan, and he put the money in Pharaoh's treasury. When the people of Egypt and Canaan ran out of money, all the Egyptians came to Joseph. "Our money is gone," they cried. But please give us food or we will die before your very eyes. Joseph replied, "Since your money is gone, bring me your livestock. I will give you food in exchange for your livestock." So they brought their livestock to Joseph in exchange for food, in exchange for their horses, flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle and donkeys. Joseph provided them with food for another year. But that year ended, and the next year they came again and said, "We cannot hide the truth from you, my lord. Our money is gone, and all our livestock and cattle are yours. We have nothing left to give you but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your eyes, your very eyes? Buy us our land in exchange for our food, and we offer our land and ourselves as slaves for Pharaoh. Just give us grain so we may live and not die, and so the land does not become empty and desolate." So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. All the Egyptians sold him their fields because the famine was so severe. And soon all the land belonged to Pharaoh. As for the people, he made them all slaves from one end of Egypt to the other. The only land he did not buy was the land belonging to the priests. They received an allotment of food directly from Pharaoh so they didn't need to sell their land. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, what did you say go to?
It said 31.
Oh, I thought you said 22. My bad.
No, it was 21. I'm looking at the wrong question.
Okay.
Thank you. So here we find that Egypt became an empire because he used starvation, poverty, in order to they used their power over everybody else. So everybody had to come to them for what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how Egypt became an empire, because they put the people in position to where they had to sell everything they had in order just to eat.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they did do that.
Yeah, you know. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about that. I don't know, it just put me in the mindset of Acts, you know, with the first church where they shared everything that they had. And so if a nation would share everything that they had, then maybe they wouldn't, like, morph into empires. Because essentially what they did was give Pharaoh everything that they had so that he could oppress them. And then everybody went to him.
Right. You know, and you know, the same way today. If the people with everything would help, because I think it was Minister Tate that said that if every millionaire would give up $25 million, we could end homelessness.
I think about this, where you've got, like, what's his name, Jeff Bezos, where he has, like, over $120 billion. There's only 8 billion people on the planet. So he could essentially give every human being $1 billion and still have $100 billion.
Right.
So
right.
To me,
and he won't even be missing it.
Right. It's like God, when he looked at his creation, he said it's good because we have enough.
Right.
If it wasn't for greedy people.
Exactly.
You say greedy people.
Yeah,
right.
Well, yeah,
greedy.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of us are guilty of overbuying or overdoing,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, we still take the time to try to give at some point.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing is that, you know, God says in Scripture, whatever you do for one of these, you're doing for me.
Amen.
You know? Yeah.
Amen.
So you're right about, you know, pointing out certain people, you know, what they have. But you know what? The thing is, too, God also said, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, and all these things will be added unto you. He never told us.
He never said
that our life would be perfect. He never said that we wouldn't go through ups and downs. But the promise is that he would be with us every step of the way. So that's why I put my trust in God more than man.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Rebel.
I know. Come on now. Ah! Woo! 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 I can't be still.
As soon as I see you, you're in trouble. Tell us question number 7, please. Okay, it says, what empire conquered the northern kingdom, which was Israel? What empire? And we find that answer in 2 Kings 17, verses 1 through 8.
Oh, wait. You say 2 Kings?
Yep.
2
Kings 17.
1 through 8.
Okay.
1 through 8.
In the 12th year of Judah's king Ahaz, Hoshea, son of Eli, became king over Israel and Samaria, and he reigned 9 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, but not like the kings of Israel who preceded him. King Shalmaneser of Assyria attacked him, and Hoshea became his vessel and paid him tribute. But the king of Assyria caught Hoshea in a conspiracy. He had sent envoys to the king of Egypt and had not paid tribute to the king of Assyria as in previous years. Therefore, the king of Assyria arrested him and put him in prison. The king of Assyria invaded the whole land, marched up to Samaria, and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria. He deported the Israelites to Assyria and settled them in Halau along the harbor, Gozan's River, and in the cities of the Medes. This disaster happened because the people of Israel sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and because they worshiped other gods. They lived according to the customs of the nations to the Lord that the Lord had disposed before the Israelites and according to what the king of Israel did.
Okay. Amen.
So the answer would be Assyria.
Assyria.
Yes. Thank you much. Okay, moving on to questions number 8. What empire conquered the southern kingdom, Judah? And that answer will be found in Jeremiah 25, 1 through 11. It reads as follows.
This message for all the people of Judah came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the fourth year of Jehoiakim's reign over Judah. This was the year when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon began his reign. Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people in Judah and Jerusalem, for the past 23 years, from the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, until now, the Lord has been giving me his messages. I have faithfully, somebody needs to mute, I think.
Yes.
I have faithfully passed them on to you, but you have not listened. Again and again, the Lord has sent you his servants, the prophets, but you have not listened or even paid attention. Each time the message was this: turn from the evil road you are traveling and from the evil things you are doing. Only then will I let you live in this land that the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever.
Hello?
Do not provoke my anger by worshiping idols you made with your own hands. Then I will not harm you. But you would not listen to me, says the Lord. You made me furious by worshiping idols you made with your own hands, bringing on yourselves all the disasters you now suffer. And now the Lord of Heaven's army says, because you have not listened to me, I will gather together all the armies of the north under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, whom I have appointed as my deputy. I will bring them all against this land and its people and against the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy you and make you an object of horror and a ruin forever. I will be singing and laughter. The joyful voices of bridegrooms and brides will no longer be heard. Your millstones will fall silent, and the lights in your homes will go out. This entire land will become a desolate wasteland. Israel and her neighboring lands will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Amen.
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 So now we know the empire that conquered southern kingdom Judah was Babylon.
Babylon.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
And to ask you guys the next question, which we've read the scriptures already, what are some of the common characteristics of these empires, Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon? And through those that I read, they had military power.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of them. They were cruel in their punishments, and they worshiped idols. That's what I have. Military power. They were cruel in their punishment, and they worshiped idols.
Mm-hmm.
Do anybody else have any other answers? Because it's other things that they had in common, but I think those were the most obvious. You know. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And now let us move to question 10. It says, which one of Noah's sons did these empires originate? Okay. And that's in Genesis 10, 6 through 11. So can somebody read Genesis 10, 6 through 11?
I'll read that. It says, the descendants of Ham were Cush,
Mizraim put the Canaan. Mizraim put and Canaan. The descendants of Cush were Sheba, Havilah, Sabtah, Raamah, and Saptika. The descendants of Raamah were Sheba and Dedan. Cush was also the ancestor of Nimrod, who was the first heroic warrior on earth, since he was the greatest hunter in the world. His name became proverbial. People would say, this man is like Nimrod, the greatest hunter in the world. He built he built his kingdom in the land of Babylonia with the cities of Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Canaan. From there, he expanded his territory to Assyria, building the cities of Nineveh, Rehoboth, Irkalah, and Resen, the great city located between Nineveh and Calah.
Okay, amen.
Amen.
It said, which one of Noah's sons did these empires originate? And the answer to that would be
Ham.
Ham.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Amen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to question 11. Which descendant of Ham is the father of two of these empires, and what was he known for?
The greatest hunter in the world.
Cush
and Nimrod, ancestor Nimrod.
Yep.
He was the greatest hunter in the world.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Let's move on to question 12. What did Nebuchadnezzar see in his dream? We can read this in Daniel 2, 24 through 23. Can somebody read that? We know the answers, but we're just using scripture to back it up. That's all. Well, I know most of the answers.
Right.
But I know, yes, yes.
2:24 through 2:33. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had assigned to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He came and said to him, "Don't destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will give him the interpretation." Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said to him, "I have found a man among the Judean exiles who can let the king know the interpretation." The king said in reply to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me the dream I had and its interpretation?" Daniel answered the king, "No wise man, medium, magician, or diviner is able to make known to the king the mystery he asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has let King Nebuchadnezzar know what will happen in the last days. Your dream and the visions that came into your mind as you lay in bed were these. Your Majesty, while you were in your bed, thoughts came to your mind about what will happen in the future. The revealer of mysteries has let you know what will happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but in order that the interpretation might be made known to the king and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. Your Majesty, as you were watching, suddenly a colossal statue appeared. That statue, tall and dazzling, was standing in front of you, and its appearance was terrifying. The head of the statue was pure gold, its chest and arms were silver, its stomach and thighs were bronze. Its legs were iron, and its feet were partly iron and partly fired clay. Is that it?
Amen. Yep.
Amen.
So we know from this scripture and from what we remember that in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he saw the statue.
Yes.
Okay. In this dream, what happened to the statue? And we know that it... Yes, go ahead.
It was knocked over by a big rock.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It was destroyed by a rock not made by man's hands. So whenever we say not made by man's hands, it can only be made by God.
By God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, next question. Who will destroy all empires and what will be set up? And we just answered that by who did the rock, you know. Jesus, you know, is the one who will destroy all empires.
Yes.
And then his kingdom will be set up.
Yes.
Yes, that's what we're waiting for.
Kingdom of God, yes.
Yes. Amen. Let's move on to question 14. What empire was Jesus born under, and what message did he proclaim? We can find that in Luke 2, 1 and 2. First, somebody read Luke 2, 1 and 2.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria.
Okay. So what empire was Jesus born under?
Caesar Augustus.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Rome.
Wait a minute. Uh-oh. Hold up, y'all. I lost my place in the Bible. And the whole thing shut up on me. Okay, so Jesus was born under the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the message that he proclaimed?
The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Empire. Yep. Thank you. What is the kingdom of God, meaning the kingdom of heaven?
God's reign and rule over every area of the earth.
Yes. Yes.
The way he originally intended it.
The way he originated it. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. That's God's kingdom. Okay, and what does God intend for all creation to do under mankind?
Flourish.
Yes, I
was going to say we're going to say it like a choir. Flourish.
That's our favorite word, class.
Flourish, flourish.
All right, all right,
Lisa.
Yes. You know, it's just beautiful to be able to have fun with God's word. You
amen.
Know,
it
is. It's more than a notion.
Yes.
Okay. And question number 17, what was the world like when Jesus was born? We know that it was Torah. It was idolatry going on. It was sexual immorality going on.
Oppression.
Pardon me?
I said oppression.
Yeah. Idolatry, oppression, sexual immorality.
Violence.
Yeah.
All of it. All of it. Put it in there.
Yes. Basically the same thing that's going on today.
Amen.
You know, we always try to look at the world and say, these kids were worse off than we were. They just,
yeah.
We just get to see it. You know what I'm saying? Technology
wow.
Put it in everybody's face more now
yep.
than they did back. But we did some of the same things now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're just seeing it through a different lens. You know, when you're
exactly.
a kid, you don't see what's going on. You don't even think
right.
what you're doing is bad.
Right. You know, you think that's a part of growing up, you know?
Right,
right,
right.
Exactly. Why won't they let me do what I want to do?
Right, right.
Well, I always looked at it as the person itself is okay. It's just they got an evil spirit. So, I mean, within them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what
especially
is,
what
you know,
Janice told us last week, that being an image of God, so, yeah, the person is okay. They just got an evil spirit within them. It's my perception of certain people.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to question 18. Because I don't think we're going to get them all in, but I'll get in as many as I can. What miracle did Jesus perform? Okay, the first one is in Mark 2, 1 through 12.
Mm-hmm. It says,
paralyzed.
Okay, can I get somebody to read Mark 2, 1 through 12?
Yes,
okay.
It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door while he was preaching God's word to them. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus,
okay.
seeing
when
their
on...
face. Jesus said to the paralyzed man,
okay.
My child, your sins are forgiven.
But
some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your heart? It is easy to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Amen.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. So one of the miracles that Jesus performed, he healed the paralyzed man. And,
yes.
you know, the good thing that he was lowered down in front of him, in front of everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Because for so long,
yep.
Jesus didn't want for it to be revealed who he was. But this time he wanted them to know that he was of God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. The next one is in Mark 5, 1 through 20. I'm going to cut it short when we get down to it because all we need to know is the actual. Let's go to Mark 5. Mark 5, 1 through 20. Okay, Anybody want to read that, or do you want me to read it? I know you might be tired of reading. It says, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came from the cemetery to meet him. You know, if somebody running from you from the cemetery, you better be a god, for real. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put, that's what I'm saying. You know, somebody running like that towards you, you better have some God in your basement. Whenever he was put in the chain and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. It said, with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." But Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there is many of us inside this man." The evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. So Jesus sent them into some pigs. I'm cutting it short, y'all, because our time is short. Jesus sent them into some pigs, and they ran over the cliff. So the second one was that Jesus healed the demon-possessed man. That was a miracle he did, too.
Miracle.
Yes. Healed. Okay, the next one is in John 2, 1 through 12. And after that one, that'll be the last one we do, because I don't want to run over the time allotted for us. Amen?
Amen.
So the next one is in John. John 2, 1 through 12.
On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother went there, and Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding as well. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother told him, "They don't have any wine." "What has this concern of yours to do with me, woman?" Jesus asked. "My hour has not yet come." "Do whatever he tells you," his mother told the servants. Now 6 stone water jars had been set there for Jewish purification. Each contained 20 or 30 gallons. "Fill the jar with water," Jesus told them. So they filled them to the brim. Then he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the head waiter." And they did. When the head waiter tasted the water, after it had become wine, he did not know where it came from. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew, he called the groom and told him, "Everyone sets out the fine wine first. Then, after people are drunk, the inferior. But you have kept the fine wine until now." Jesus did this,
Amen.
The first of his signs in Cana of Galilee.
All right. Amen.
All right.
So the next, another miracle that Jesus did, he turned water to wine.
More than wine.
And we're going to stop right there. I thank everybody for their participation. I couldn't have enjoyed the class without you. Thank you much.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good class. Thank you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Good class. Good lesson. Thank you, Sister Loretta. You always do a great job, and we just thank you for your faithfulness and learning and studying the Word of God, and just you know, being a good teammate, team player, and standing in for Sister Janice. God,
all right.
Appreciates that. Yeah, we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
And you do the same, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so everyone that's not participating in the next part of service as far as doing something on the service, you could unmute your phone or depress your one so that, because we have a lot of listeners, you can know who's participating in this part of service, okay? So You know, as always, get your cookies, your crumpets, your coffee, your tea. And after this selection, we will start our morning worship service. See you on the other side of this song.
Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell of you even in the marketplace. I will pray to you in my secret place. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. You are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to get to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer a worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. For all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you, for you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. And Lord, you're my peace. That surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to. Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Coming from somehow, some way you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me, and I gotta testify that you are my joy. When I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel, you're my peace. Well, the devil thought he was gonna take my mind. For the trial of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. Yeah, 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 yeah. You're my joy. When I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel, you become the peace that surpasses all understanding. You calm my mind, just like you calm the sea. You're my hope, you're my dreams, you're my vision. Yeah, 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 yeah. You're my life, you're my strength, you're everything to me. I gotta give your name the praise. Lord, you are. Lord, you are. Lord, you are. You are. You are. You are everything.
Yes, yes. Life, strength, joy, peace. Lord, you are everything. We give you all the glory, praise, and the honor. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. And we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministry, we believe it's vital, and the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer is our very own mother, Irma Miller. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
And good morning to you, and I thank you for having me to read for you this morning. Amen. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus was the King, pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father. Look on human flesh, in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture, appeared to many witnesses. He enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Amen. Scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Do not worry. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? For as the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will not much more clothe you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans ran after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. Amen. Our prayer, that God our Father, Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preachers with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen. God bless, and you have a wonderful day. Thank the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Don't worry. Thank you. Thank you, Mother Irma. We appreciate you. Have a beautiful day.
Amen. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Hey, take it away, Pastor O.
Just say yes, you lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say that this life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours.
I'll just say yes.
Yes, Lord.
again. Yes, Lord.
Amen. You know, that's what the Lord have asked from us, but I don't think we really get that. You know, we got so many people preaching these social gospels, trying to just make it about us, but it's really about Jesus and spreading the word of God. It's about reaching lost souls. It's about us maturing and becoming more Christ-like every single day. But I think we've made it about Jesus just making this life heaven for us. But Jesus told us himself, in this life you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome that. And so everything about us is about doing his will, not about him making our life this, that, or the other. He didn't say he would do that. And if we look throughout history, we'll see that's never been the case with those who really served him. So we don't want Jesus to just make life fun for us, make life good for us. We want to make sure that since we have received the Holy Spirit, that we use the power that came with him to be his witnesses. We should be telling people about Christ daily. We should be teaching people who are in Christ how to live for him, and we should be helping those who are in or outside the body of Christ, not just sitting around praying for Jesus to let us go on a trip, praying for Jesus to give us money, and just make this life all about life. This life is coming to an end, okay? And I don't know if you're paying attention to what's going on in the world. Things are happening where they never happened before, like they never happened before. The Lord is letting the church know, don't be scared, because we're supposed to know about this. But use this opportunity to preach Jesus, to proclaim the risen Christ, and stop all of this nonsense about trying to turn earth into heaven. He's not with that. The Bible never said that. The Bible said we are his witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. And to do that, guess what? Dinah McClurkin wrote a song about it simply entitled, I Need You.
Your hand holding me, and how could I live without you? I can't see, Lord, what would I do in life where
For those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. You know, our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who could meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. The following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sister Rebecca Johnson's Deaconess. I'll pray to the Lord. Amen.
I want to love like you love, Lord. This is Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I thank the Lord for another opportunity to serve. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, precious Lord, wonderful Counselor, we love you and praise you and thank you for your grace and mercy and mighty power. Thank you for your patience, faithfulness, and loving kindness. Thank you that you see us and hear us and answer us. Thank you for waking us up again. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for handfuls of purpose. We thank you for wise counselors, for family, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for victory over spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank you for lessons learned, for a way to go to church without going to church. Thank you for praying grandmothers. Thank you for every hand that helps to produce this worship service. We thank you for all those who have and will participate in this morning service and each person listening. We admit that we fall short daily, that we are all sinners that need more and more of your peace. We ask that you cause us to be sensitive to hear your voice and quick to do whatever you ask us to do. We ask that you cause all of our struggles to be turned into testimonies. Lord, we ask that you let the victories you have already won show up in our lives. We ask for complete healing in the body, mind, and spirit of everyone under the sound of my voice, and especially Pastor Terrence Tate and Darius Freeman, especially Sister Deaconess Nicole. We thank you for the work you're already doing on restoring her health, especially for Sister Deaconess Mary and her sister, Patricia Glass. We ask that you give total healing to them both, especially Anita Chambers, Quiniah King and Lorenzo, especially for Sierra Handley and baby Zendaya, especially for Naomi and her family, especially for Sister Deaconess Lisa, and for my husband, Ed, who brought me to this church. We thank you for the work you are already doing on his health and for the progress he has made. We thank you for the work you are already doing for Doris Gaither and all our mothers, every member of Runner for Christ Ministries, and all those inside the body of Christ. We ask that you bless and keep, comfort and deliver those in Maui and all other places that are suffering in the aftermath of severe weather. We ask that you bless the preacher to give a message that speaks to and nourishes our inner men. We ask that you give each of us another new revelation and another new understanding of you. We ask that you give each of us the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. We say yes to your ways and your plans for our lives. We acknowledge that you are the knower of all things and that you know us better than we know ourselves. So the best choice we could make is to let you be our guide. We invite you to show us the way. We ask for all of these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
can't do without you, Jesus. Govern yourselves accordingly. Power in prayer. There is power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Johnson, for praying and making our request known to God. You know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day. Amen. All right. So far, we're having a great time this morning. I am truly enjoying myself in this service, and I hope you are too. So with more to come, I want to say, first, I just want to say happy Labor Day weekend to everyone. Just have a safe and happy Labor Day holiday weekend. And just thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Be the reason someone smiled today. Okay? All right. All right. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. So prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate as he comes in his own way with a word from the Lord. Let's receive him. Amen.
You know, as I get older, I come to realize that I can't do this on my own. After all the hard knocks, the bumps, and the bruises, I just always seem to end up right back here.
All of you in every way is my very earnest plea. And in your hands, I place my life. It's the ultimate security. My hands upraised, like a child, I reach out to you. All I have to say is, need, yes I do. Every day of my life, my request is known.
Man, let's take a moment to realize that we do need the Lord. We need him in every aspect of our lives. And so many times we don't include the Lord in every aspect. But if anyone deserves to be all up in your business, all up in your life, it's the Lord. So the words of that song are true. We need you, Lord. Let us pray right now, Lord. Help us to understand and acknowledge that we need you in every aspect of our lives. We need you to encourage us and to direct us and inspire us and lead us as followers of Christ. Lord, help us to have the attitudes that we need to have, Lord, as followers of Christ, as we lead others to you. Lord, we pray that all the things that have been distractions or pitfalls and shortcomings, Lord, we put all that before you right now at your feet at the altar. Pray right now, Lord, that you would pour this word into your people so that we can pour into others. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters all around the world. My name is Jonathan Tate, and to share the word that the Lord provided today. Those of you who have listened over the years know that the Lord always gives a word in his time and not ours. So I'm thankful for his perfect timing, even though it doesn't seem perfect at the time. I want to direct your attention to Matthew chapter 5, and we will be reading verses 3 through 10. And I have to confess, I had tried to avoid even going to Matthew chapter 5. And the reason why is because one thing about Matthew chapter 5 is it's very convincing in terms of, well, convicting in terms of what we need to be doing and how we need to think and be and act. And when you're convicted like that, is you have to take a long look in the mirror at yourself and how you are and what you say and what you do. And that's not always the easiest thing, you know. And me being honest, I again, I didn't want to go to Matthew chapter 5, and the Lord said, again, turn to chapter 5, and he pointed out verses 3 through 10. So I'm going to be obedient, and the Lord is going to direct this sermon as he does all of them when we get out of the way, and I'm not going to stand in his way. So Matthew chapter 5, and I'll be reading from the New International Version, verses 3 through 10, and it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his word. So this passage was taken from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And during that time, it's believed that it took place over, you know, a number of days where he spoke to folks about the kingdom of heaven and the attitudes that followers of Christ should have. So one of the first things the Lord pointed out was in these verses, it starts off with blessed. So I had to look up the word. One thing about myself is if I don't know the exact definition of a word, I'll look it up. You know, that's the nerd in me. I believe in, you know, searching out something that you don't fully know. And I've been saved since I was 10 and been in the church all my life, but I didn't really know exactly what the word blessed was defined as. And it's simply, the definition of it is God's divine favor. God's divine favor. And verses 3 through 10 are known as, called the Beatitudes. So when you, you know, you look at the first part of that word, be, you know, something that we have to become, something that we need to, someone that we need to be. So to exist, be. And then attitudes, you know, attitude is a settled way of thinking. It's defined as a settled way of thinking. And typically your attitude reflects how you feel in terms of your character. So if we're supposed to have a settled way of thinking in terms of our attitudes, it needs, in short of it, we need to have the attitude of Christ, followers of Christ. We need to be like Christ in our thinking, in our actions, and how we exist on this earth. So you can see my struggles in going to Matthew chapter 5, because it's like, okay, if I want to engage in God's divine favor, John, your attitudes need to be like this. And I hope that we understand that. It's easy for us to say that I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Christian means follower of Christ. If you're going to follow Christ, you need to understand that he's the leader and you're the follower, and you need to follow his lead. You know, some of us are old enough to remember the game, follow the leader, and you had to follow who was leading. So as followers of Christ, we need to follow Christ because he's the leader. And he earned that position before any of us were thought of. the Lord always thought of us, because spiritually we've always existed. The word says that before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. So that's evidence that God knew us. And verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you're poor in something, you have lacking. You know, people that are poor in food or drink, they don't have, they're lacking food and drink. When you're poor in spirit, that means that you're not filled up and puffed up on you. You understand that I need the Lord in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit, in my existence, in my being. And it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, for us to reap the benefits of who we were, who we're called to be, we have to be engaged in doing things God's way. And when you're involved in the kingdom of heaven and you're actively participating in that kingdom as it continues to grow and expand, you are a part of it. You are an active part of it. You know, I used to struggle with the kingdom of heaven and, you know, what does that mean? Is it just talking about, you know, God's, you know, home in heaven? And it's like, no, us spiritually being involved in God's work and his realm and his domain, even though we're in these earthly bodies, we have a spirit that keeps these bodies alive and is connected to the Lord for us who are saved. And even those who aren't saved, God made us. So you have a connection whether you want to or not. Now, spiritually, if you punch your ticket to heaven by being saved, then you're saved. You can actively participate in the kingdom of God. But if you're not saved, you're actively kingdom of darkness, which is Satan and those demons. So when you see kingdom of heaven, think about God's work, God's realm, what God is doing, his authority and his expansion and his glory, his power, his honor, everything wrapped up in him. And you being an active participant in that kingdom, in that experience. And then it says, blessed, in verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, for a lot of us experience that. You know, I've shared the story before, and I'm going to continue to share it because I think people need to understand that we have a deeper connection to the Lord than we realize sometimes. You know, I was really struggling at the time. My mother had just passed away, and I was talking to my son's mother, and I said, you know, I'm really struggling with sleep. I miss my mom. This is extremely painful. And she shared a story. She said when her grandfather, who she was close to, passed away, she asked the Lord to comfort her, to embrace her. And she said she felt a warm, tight embrace as she slept that night. It really helped her. So I thanked her for sharing that story, but I went on to do the same thing and go to the Lord and with the same request and say, Lord, I need your comfort. I need you to help me in this situation so I can get some rest. And I'm a what some people would consider a big guy. I'm 6'3", 294 pounds. It's not a lot of people who can really wrap their arms around me and squeeze me and comfort me. You know, it's not a lot of people. I've only really experienced that with my Uncle Perry, who was much bigger than me, who was going on to be with the Lord. But that night, I felt a warm, tight, secure embrace like I had never felt, and I slept like a baby. And I was so thankful, you know, to experience that and to feel that connection with the Lord where he physically allowed me to feel his comfort So when I read, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, that takes on a different meaning for me because I've experienced it. You know, so just understand that you will have God's divine favor, you know, as his children in terms of being blessed and you mourning and being comforted. We don't have to turn to chemicals or, you know, drugs or anything or other people. We can just simply go to the Lord for anything and everything that we need. Amen. And verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meek is another word for a synonym of being humble. You know, similar to understanding, you know, when we read about being poor in spirit and, you know, lacking. But when you embrace humility, there's a blessing attached to that. And it's saying for you will inherit the earth. You know, boastful people will talk about what they've done and what they have and, you know, how they are this and they are that. Humble people understand that they need God for everything and they trust in God for everything. You know, and I will be the first to tell you, like, it makes me uncomfortable when people give me accolades or praise, you know, because I don't feel like I deserve that. I feel like the only reason why I am somebody or I can do a certain thing or I have talents or I have time or I have resources because God gave it to me. So I embrace the fact that, yeah, I'm just regular dude. You know, I'm only somebody because I have the Lord in my heart, my mind, and my spirit. And he's wrapped all up in me. And I'm blessed to be a part of this kingdom and a part of this family because I'm in him and he's in me. Amen. And then verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And that, if you think about it, that plays off of being humble. You know, because again, you know where to go to and who to go to. You know, because if you're being humble, you understand that you are who you are because of the Lord. Now, if you're wrapped up in relationship with the Lord, you understand that I want to be righteous. I want to be more like the Lord because he's leading me and I'm following and I'm reading his word and I'm practicing his word and I'm learning more and more about what the Lord is doing and has done for me. So I want to engage in righteousness. I want to be right with the Lord. And when you're right with the Lord, you're right with yourself, and you can be right with others. So if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, it says, for they will be filled. And it's so true when you just try to engage in righteousness. And the more you learn about the Lord, the more you engage in reading his word and just trying to do right, the Lord will continue to pour into you so that you can do more and more right, and it becomes more and more uncomfortable to do wrong or to engage in wickedness and evil. You know, I don't mind sharing the story. This one uncomfortable thing about being a preacher is you gotta be transparent. So I used to struggle with pornography. It was like something that I wanted to indulge in daily. And more and more and more, the more I learned about the word, the more I learned about the Lord, and the more I read and, you know, did research and things of that nature, it became less and less important to me to the point where it's disgusting. And that's because I had to turn it over to the Lord and engage more in righteousness and develop a hunger and a thirst to be more righteous. Am I telling you I'm perfect? No, I mess up every day. Sometimes I wake up just bold. But there are certain struggles that are not struggles anymore because of my hunger and my thirst for trying to be right. Amen? Amen. Verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. When you show mercy, you will be shown mercy. Now, I know that sounds like double talk, but it's real simple. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God's divine favor will be poured onto you and into you as someone who shows mercy, who is merciful, for you will be shown mercy. See, we need to understand one thing that's very important. We have an active part in our relationship with the Lord. It's not just to go pray so that he's the genie in the lamp and he will grant your wishes. No. We have a part to play, an active part to play in our relationship with the Lord. So if you're showing mercy to folks, because sometimes you don't need to get folks in line all the time. God will get folks in line. He doesn't need you to get anyone in line or in check. Now, granted, if you're a parent or you're a teacher or a leader or whatever, yes, you have people under your authority. But you should be exercising your authority according to the Lord's will, his word, his way, not yours. So I give an example. My son spent the night over his friend's house and didn't tell anyone. And, you know, his grandmother called me like, hey, I haven't heard from John John. And I was like, oh, okay. So I get in touch with him. And, I did use some colorful words to tell him to get his hind parts home. And he got home. And I went on down to see him. And along the way, the Lord was like, do not kill him, don't touch him, you know, be merciful. So as a parent, sometimes you do want to kill your kids because they take you there. But I had to show mercy. And the Lord pointed out after the situation, had you not been merciful, had you not just taken the time to listen, you would have messed that whole thing up. Now, granted, I had to do what I had to do in terms of, you know, taking away a privilege, you know, but at the same time, I had to listen to the Lord's leading and follow his lead in terms of being merciful, because time and time again throughout this week alone, I've been shown mercy, and I'm thankful. So it works. Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. For us to be pure in heart, we have to have the Lord residing inside of us as Christians, as followers of Christ, for those of us who are saved. So it's a promise. And all of these are promises, but these are attitudes that we need to have. Because when you're back in the day when they had purification offerings, there had to be bloodshed. Grains and oils and things of that nature, depending on what was being purified, and all of that had to be taken to the priest and poured out on the altar. So Jesus purified us at the cross when he shed all of his blood for us, and then he rose from the grave with all power and might. That's why we can spend eternity with the Lord. Jesus, knowing all this before he went to the cross, had to let us know, blessed are the pure in heart. The heart is the core of who you are. If you want to examine yourself, you have to look into your heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We don't physically see God. We feel him. We see his creation. We see what he does in our lives. But eternally, those who will see God are those who appear in heart, who have been purified by Jesus Christ, who are saved. I can't put it any plainer than that. I look forward to seeing my Father in heaven and seeing my elder brother, and also seeing my loved ones who have already beat me home. And I'm confident in that because the Lord saved me. But I invited them in, and we'll get to that. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Now, we understand as far as sons of God, you know, sons, daughters, children of God, descendants of God. But what is the Lord? Did the Lord come down and jump on people and cuss people out and beat them up and send them to hell? Jesus didn't do that when he came to earth peacefully. Now, he told people what they needed to hear, whether they liked it or not, and they threatened his life, but he was still peaceful in how he moved about this earth. I would tell anybody, genetically, I understand where I got it from. It's genetic. I have a horrible temper. When I get angry, I'm a totally different person. It's like an animal that got released, a wild animal outside the cage. I have a horrible temper. And it's genetic. I'm not throwing that out as an excuse. I know where it came from. So the Lord has had to work with me over the years in terms of being peaceful, even with my own children. Pointed it out, hey, this is not how I conduct business. So this is how you need to conduct business like I conduct business. Because I got saved, and I belong to the Lord, and he belongs to me. But he has authority over me, so I need to follow his lead. I need to have an attitude of being a peacemaker and not a hellraiser. I'll let y'all marinate on that because I know we got some hellraisers and reformed hellraisers on the line. But blessed makers, for they will be called sons of God. God's children need to act like God. They need to reflect his presence in their lives. That's why these are Beatitudes. These are active attitudes that we need to have, settled ways of thinking, so that we can receive God's divine favor or blessings. Amen. And verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus didn't say that everything was going to be sweet because you adopted these attitudes. It's capped off with, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we've had examples in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, of righteous people who were persecuted, not because of evil, but because of righteousness. The Bible promises that we're going to have trials and tribulations. The whole thing about the Beatitudes is that God's kingdom is not like the world's. So you need to have these attitudes so that you can move and navigate throughout the world, expand my kingdom, leading others to me. And that starts within you. It expands into your household, into your community, to the county, to the state, to the country, to the world. It starts with you. You mean that much to the Lord where he can say, hey, these attitudes are something that you need to develop and work on and cultivate, and I'm with you the whole way because I'm going to continue to bless you as you exhibit these attitudes, as you follow me. But, you know, none of this makes sense without you having a relationship with the Lord. And for you to have a relationship with the Lord, you have to invite him in. Jesus did his part. Jesus died for all of your sins. He went to the cross, and he rose from the dead with all power and might to save you. Make it personal. Don't worry about what your grandma did or what your mama did or didn't do. It's about you. God is going to hold you accountable for decisions that you've made on this earth. And one key eternal decision that you need to make is where you're going to spend eternity. Now, me, yes, I've already punched my ticket. I punched it when I was 10 years old, got saved. But if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for all of your sins and rose from the dead, that's half of it. That's a major part of it. Don't get me wrong. But the other part is an invitation. You have to invite him in. Jesus is a gentleman. So if you believe that he died on the cross for all of your sins and he rose from the dead, pray with me. And only you know if you genuinely believe this. And you just simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm an admitted sinner. I believe that you died for all of my sins, past, present, and future, and that you rose from the dead with all power and might. I invite you to come into my heart and life so that I can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, if you believed, first and foremost, and you prayed that prayer and you invited the Lord in, you're saved. Now all you have to do is get into a good Bible-based church. If you're in the Detroit metro area, I invite you to come on out to Runners for Christ Ministries. I personally invite you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Matthew chapter 5. We thank you, Lord, for my obedience in going to chapter 5 because you instructed me multiple times to go to chapter 5 and how you highlighted the attitudes that we need to develop and cultivate and display. Help us, Lord, to, as a collective and as individuals, to engage in the Beatitudes and to share them with the world so that we lead folks to you and that more will be saved and we continue to expand your kingdom because it's going to expand whether we work it or not. But help us to actively be involved in expanding your kingdom. We say thank you, Lord, for this wonderful experience on Blog Talk Radio together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was awesome, and not much needs to be said after that. Amen. I remember a couple years ago, we were at the hall, and we were having Sunday school, and Pastor was teaching on the Beatitudes, and I always remember the Beatitudes are the attitudes to be, to display, to reflect out onto others, because we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the responsibility. Jesus is not walking the earth as the man that he was over 2,000 years ago. But each and every one of us that have accepted Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have the Holy Spirit. So we're all a bunch of mini Jesuses walking around here, and we have the responsibility to have the attitude that Jesus had about everything, about people, about no matter what it is. That's why the Bible is still such a living word, because we have to read it and take it in and allow the Holy Spirit to use us so that we can reflect God out into the world. So thank you, Pastor Jonathan, for that awesome reminder of who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. There's so much going on in the world, so many distractions. The world is telling us we need to be this way, and the Word of God is telling us we need to be this way. You know, so it's just important for us to remember who we are and whose we are and what it is that we have a responsibility to do, which is reflect Christ in the earth. So thank you so much for the word that you brought to us today. Thank you for your obedience and going to Matthew chapter 5, because we know sermons like that are not always easy, but they are most definitely appreciated. Amen. So you have a wonderful day, and good morning, everybody. It's Saturday. If you didn't know what day it was, you don't hear my voice, so you know it's Saturday, right? Amen. So, just by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, September 3rd, we will have our Sunday school class at 9 a.m. with our teacher, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, and then we will continue on with our praise team leading us in songs as we proceed into our worship service. that begins at 10 a.m. Amen. I believe Pastor O is bringing the word, but it doesn't matter who's bringing it. Amen. You know you're going to get some word. So just come to church. Amen. So we are at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Again, Sunday school begins at 9 a.m., and then our service begins at 10 a.m. Every Tuesday, y'all know what's up, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, we have our Bible class. You do need the textbook for the class if you plan on being in attendance. The books are available, so visit the church website, rfcm.org, and click on Bible classes to purchase the book. Please read the assignment before the class starts. The questions are at the end of each chapter for discussion. Deaconess Lolo, amen, Loretta Welch, will be teaching this week with the subject being Be Strong and Courageous. Amen, Be Strong and Courageous. That's the lesson for this week. So make sure to tune in and participate. Amen. Every Friday, 6 p.m., I'm sorry, every Friday at 7 p.m., Fridays at 7. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, but y'all should know that already, okay? It's on Block Talk Radio. We'll bring back the family. Make sure to join in and comment on the discussion that's being had about our children. Amen. Please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Block Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Don't forget to go to our church website, rfcm.org. Make sure to share our website with others. We have classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more, again, all for free. I say it all the time. I'll say it again. You can get your whole Christian life in order just by listening to everything that we've ever done here on Blog Talk Radio, okay, all the way back to 2009 when it was just Pastor O, all the way up until today at this moment when you're hearing my voice, amen. And so it's not just for us. You know, people might think that, well, let me say this. I know when Pastor O started Blog Talk Radio in terms of Run for Christ, being on Blog Talk Radio, he was nervous and afraid. If anybody knows Pastor O, he is a total – he's terrified of public speaking, okay? He's totally terrified of public speaking. So it was Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, and he's told this story many times. It was Deaconess Kathy Clyburn who told him, nobody can see you. You're at home in your pajamas, in the garbage bag, in the garage, you know, in a tutu, whatever. No one can see you, but people can hear you. And so this was essentially set up for people who could not attend, members of Run for Christ Ministries who could not attend our Bible classes that we were having in person. But God had a much bigger plan for Blog Talk Radio. And so now, you know, Pastor gives us the numbers every now and then into, you know, countries that we are being heard in now. So it truly has gone all over the world and into those nooks and crannies of places that we physically might not be able to go to. But the Word of God is expanding, and it is touching all over the world. So make sure you just get what you need to get out of Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Again, like I said, go to our church website, rfcm.org. Use the classes, you know, look at the jobs, get the resources, use all of that, and just make sure to use it for what you need it for, and then share it with others. Amen? If you'd like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, our church website, rfcm.org, just click on the tithes and offerings tab, and you'll be able to handle your business there. If you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Jonathan Tate, who brought the word to us today, you can also do that on our church website, rfcm.org. Just make sure to annotate that your offering is for Pastor Jonathan Tate, and we will make sure to it that he receives it. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him on today. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. And so we ask your prayers, again, for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Make sure to pray for one another. Of course, pray for yourself, our schools, our children, as they're all embarking on Tuesday with a new school year. At least our kids here locally, some schools have already started. Some kids in other states have already, they start, they get out early in the year. So by the time the end of May comes, those babies are already in school. So just keep doctors and medical professions, our nation, our world, our leaders, as we're constantly facing major decisions that affect us, in your prayers, those who are missing and exploited, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, and so much more. We know that Deaconess Rebecca did an awesome altar call, you know, calling out everything and just pouring out everything and leaving it really on Jesus' front porch. Amen. I was reading a devotional the other day where it was talking about when the Lord tells us to cast our cares on him because he cares for us. And so I had to look up the word cast, and it literally means to, like, throw. Like, it doesn't mean, you know, I'm just handing it off to you and asking you, hey, go put this away. No, it means to throw, like to aggressively get something off of you. And so now when you think about when the word says to cast your cares on him, on Jesus, because he cares for you, you are really essentially needing to throw your things at Jesus and let him catch them. And you walk off because you've done your part. Amen. And so Deaconess Rebecca did an awesome job with, you know, pouring out everything. And we just need to remember to continue to cast our cares on the Lord because he cares for us. And Deacon Charles Tate has always made it a point to say, when you throw your trash out on the curb in the dumpster, whatever, well, it stays outside. You don't go back out there and be like, ooh, I got to bring the trash back in. No, it stays outside. And the trash man come and get it, and he do what he needs to do with it. Amen. So that's the same thing when we cast our cares on the Lord. We give it to him, and then we walk away, trusting that it's going to be handled the way that it should be. Amen. So we do thank Deaconess Rebecca for the amazing prayer that she brought this morning. I do have the prayer list. She mentioned the majority of the people on the list. Again, we just want to really press prayer for our children that are going to be going back to school, the teachers, admin support, security guards, crossing guards, principals, paraprofessionals, whatever you do to make sure that our kids are safe and secure and learning in the course of their day, we are lifting them up in prayer. Amen. Parents who are concerned about sending their children to school, whether they're going to preschool or whether they're going to graduate school. Okay, so just because things have already happened on college campuses. I read an article the other day, a student went and shot his professor. You know, so things are happening, and they're happening all the time. So just please, please, please continue to pray for the students as they enter into this new school year. Amen. Again, to pray for all of our leaders. Make sure to pray for your pastor who shepherds you. Amen. We have lots of pastors that run for Christ Ministries, and we have got them completely saturated in the blood of Jesus, okay? We lift them up. We pray for them to continue to give them strength, for the Lord to continue to give them strength and to uplift them, because they are dodging a lot of targets and arrows and bullets from the devil, okay? So just continue to pray for those who pastor you and shepherd you. Amen. And then we also want to make sure to keep in prayer all those who are mourning and grieving. Amen. And as a bereavement announcement, we do send our prayers out to the Alexander family, especially Gregory in the loss of his brother, Kenny Alexander, who was well-known in E-Course and all the local churches that he played the organ for. So please continue to pray for the Alexander family, especially Gregory in the loss of his brother, Kenny Alexander. He was well known in E-Course and played the organ at local churches. Presence will definitely be missed. And so just make sure to keep them lifted up in your prayers. Amen? Amen. So y'all, it's a new month. It's the month of September. Like, literally time is moving by so fast that in 2 weeks it'll be Christmas. Okay? At least that's how it plays out in my mind. Because usually once the kids go back to school, it's like all of that time just goes by. We go from summer to Halloween to it just goes by so fast. But nevertheless, it's a new month, the month of September. So happy, happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated yesterday, if you're celebrating today, or if you're celebrating this month. Amen. So at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Persia, all right, today is her birthday. Amen. So we say happy, happy birthday to Mother Persia. She is traveling. She is gone to the LV, to Las Vegas. She's having a wonderful time. So let's make sure to keep her lifted up in prayer so that she be safe. Happy birthday to Dion, Pastor's daughter. Amen. She's celebrating her birthday on the 5th. Deacon Ali Oliver Welch will be celebrating his birthday on the 11th. Vice Chairman Deacon Charles Mackey McMahon, he will be celebrating his birthday on the 12th. Chairman Deacon Charles Tate, my papa, one of my personal favorites, amen, he will be celebrating his birthday on the 14th. The one and only Pastor O, amen, will be celebrating his birthday on the 18th. Nakia will be celebrating her birthday on the 21st. And Deaconess Kathy, Cadillac, she got a whole bunch of names, amen, but y'all know who she is, our presiding person. She will be celebrating her birthday on the 22nd, amen. And so we just say happy birthday. It's going to be a whole lot of sprinkles and cupcakes and rainbows and confetti flying around at Running for Christ Ministries this month. That's okay. We are so thankful for another year of life for each and every one of you. And so we just pray that you be blessed. Enjoy your day. Amen. Amen. We also want to say, all right, happy anniversary. Happy, 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 happy anniversary to Pastor O and Sister Sheila, a.k.a. Baby Holy Ghost, my pen pal. Amen. They will be celebrating a million years together on September 6th. Amen. A million years. It might actually be a million and 1 year this year. Not really sure about the number, but I know it's been a really, really, really long time. Amen. And so we just say happy anniversary to Pastor O and Sister Sheila. September 6th, they will be celebrating a million years together. Amen. Uh-oh. Deaconess Rebecca Johnson said happy birthday to her husband, Ed, celebrated on first. Now, people be trying to slide in after the fact. So, Ed, I'm hollering your name all month. Amen. Ed is celebrating his birthday or celebrating his birthday on September 1st. Thank you, Deaconess Rebecca. I will make sure to put him on the birthday list. Amen. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today. Short, sweet, to the point. It's entitled, How to Be Confident in Uncertain Times. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. And it reads as follows. Be patient, resting your heart on the ultimate certainty. And that's James chapter 5, verse 8. It can be hard today to tell what's true and what isn't. We get conflicting information from multiple sources. It seems like there are studies and experts, research and polls that all contradict each other. When things seem uncertain, we can remain certain of this truth. God is in control. The Bible says, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord comes again, patiently for fall and spring rain. You too must be patient. Don't give up hope. The Lord will soon be here. Brothers and sisters, stop complaining about each other or you will be condemned. Realize that the judge is standing at the door. This is James chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. So why does James remind us several times in this passage that the Lord is coming back? Because it's the ultimate proof that God is in control. History is God's story. It's not circular. There is no circle of life. History is linear, and it's moving to a climax. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And one day, Jesus is going to return. Everything is on schedule. We don't know when he's coming back, but the Bible talks more about Jesus' second coming than it does about his first coming. That means it should change how we live our lives every day. We should be living with great expectation. Although your situation may seem out of control and feel painful, nothing is beyond God's control. Be patient. God's timing is perfect. He's never late. He is always in control. The Phillips version of the Bible paraphrase of James chapter 5, verse 8, again says, be patient, resting your hearts on the ultimate certainty. So what is the ultimate certainty? Jesus is going to come back one day, and nothing can stop that. No person, no power. Knowing that all of history is under God's control and that Jesus has promised to return should give you all the confidence you need in uncertain times. When you feel like you can't count on anything else, count on the truth. God's got this, and Jesus will come back one day soon to make all things right and new. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements.
Amen. Amen. And those were your announcements. And they still are your announcements. They're going to be your announcements
yes,
already the next Saturday.
Till next Saturday, yep.
Or even till tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Amen, Crystal. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. You're welcome.
Ooh, appreciate you. Tell me or I say what's
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. I sure
Amen.
Will.
Amen. God bless. Added attitude the Christian ought to be in. Thank you, Pastor Tate. Appreciate it. Amen. Christian attitudes, that's what we need. We got attitudes, right? But God want to give us new attitudes, attitudes of being. Amen. Attitudes a Christian ought to be in, attitudes a Christian ought to have. It's amazing that God's word recognizes that every single one of us are different. But it's amazing how his word says the exact same thing to all of us different people, and we all have to respond the same way. Somehow he has managed to write a book that puts everybody on one page. That's awesome. So thank you, Kat. Thank you, Deaconess Loretta Wells, for the awesome Sunday school, church school, Saturday church school lessons from last week to this week. Did an awesome job. I know Pastor Janice Tate is proud and thankful to God that she has somebody she can call to step in and let her get a break. I want to thank Mother Irma Miller and want to thank Deaconess Rebecca Johnson for the altar call, and thank Mother for the proclamation, scripture, and prayer, and thank all of you for tuning in on a Saturday morning. Amen. You know, I was talking with the Lord, and he told me, he said, do you know, Mr. Church Skipper, that you have been in church Saturday and Sunday since 09? I say, well, Lord, I guess you're trying to get back some of that time where I had to join the same church six times. But anyway, amen, I thank God for what he is doing. And this life that he has called us to live, y'all, don't be surprised if it caused you to make sacrifices. Amen. Enjoy the holiday weekend. Remember all the announcements, and like Deaconess Clyburn say, and amen, and act accordingly. Amen. Judge, respond accordingly. Do what you think. Anyway, I found a new song. It's by Brian T. He's not new. You've been hearing me play him for a while. Yes, it's rap, so don't get scared. Amen. But he asked a question in this tune, and it's called Who Told You? The first time I heard the song, it had popped up on me on YouTube. Jesus was saying, listen to this. But like Pastor Johnson Tate, it took me a minute to listen to this. And I finally listened to it, I think, yesterday or the day before. And as soon as I heard it, I went straight into tears because it took me back to when I was an atheist, when I didn't believe there was any God, when I couldn't know the God my mother and father knew, my sisters and brothers seemed to know, I didn't, okay? I was just out there. And then, you know, this song, when I heard it, it took me back to that time. That's a real touchy time for me, but I thank God for it. But just, if you can, just listen to the words. Amen? The music banging too.
Man, I wish somebody would have told me the truth a long time ago. Nobody sat me down and say, look, this ain't that and that ain't this. I was deceived for so long. It's only right that I expose all this deception in the mighty name of Jesus. Carry on, young soldier. Listen. Who told you gangsters go to heaven? Huh? Who told you money make you real? Tell me. Who told you pistols make you tough? Hey, you don't see all the dead bodies on the field? Man, who said that mercy's for the weak? Who said forgiveness is for chump? They say a coward dies a thousand deaths, a soldier dies but once. Hey, they mourn you for a week and they forget you in a month. Who told you God doesn't exist? Who told you God was just a myth? Who planted seeds of disbelief inside your mind so you could trip? Hey, who told you Jesus doesn't love you? Who said you couldn't be forgiven? Do you not know how much he loves you? Listen, do you not know the king is risen?
Who told you Christian rap was whack? Whoever said that man was wet. The truth will hit you hard and knock you flat down on your back. Who told you Christian rap was wet? Whoever said that man was wet. The truth hit you so hard and knock you flat down on your back. Hey, two things either happen. Hey, one, you gon' get mad and hate me for correcting you, for pointing out what's bad. Or two, you get convicted and cry out because you sad and ask God to forgive you for the trespasses you had. You either run to him or run from him, and I just pray you come to him. Put down all your blunts and guns and you say, Lord, I'm done with this. You run to him or run from him. I just pray you come to him. Put down all your blunts and guns and you say, Lord, I'm done with this. Everything they told me was a lie, and man, I know that now. It's only right we hit the streets and we expose that now. And dirty devil should've killed me. And Holy Spirit, come and seal me. Fill me with new strength again. Now I'm feeling new inside. Lord, I abide in you and follow you where you abide. Fill me with new strength again. Now I'm feeling new inside. Lord, I abide in you and follow you where you abide. Hey, I confide in you with confidence, my Lord, cause greater is he who lives in me than he who's of this world, ay. I confide in you with confidence, my Lord. Greater is he who lives in me than he who's of this world. Who told you God couldn't be trusted? Man, I'm trying to tell you, you could trust him. He loves you deeply, please believe me. He hates to see his children suffer. See, I don't know what all they told you, and I don't even know who told you. I just know that he's the answer, he gets hope, man, to the hopeless. I don't know what all they told you, and I don't even know who told you. I just know that Christ the answer, he gets hope, man, to the hopeless, yeah. Who told you?